Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning texts 11 and 12. From Canto 1, Chapter 11. Madhu bojata sharharha
Madhu bojata sharharha
Kukurandhaka vrishnivihi
Kukurandhaka vrishnivihi
Atmatoya balair guptam
Atmatoya balair guptam
Nagair bhagavatim
eva
Madhu.
Madhu.
Bhoja.
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 Dasharha.
Dasharha.
Arha.
Arha.
Kukura.
Kukura.
Andaka.
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 Vrishnibihi. By the descendants of Vrishni. Atmatodhya. As good as himself.
Balai.
By strength.
Guptam.
Protected.
Nagai.
By the Nagas.
Bhogavatim,
the capital of Nagaloka,
eva,
like. Translation, as Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwaraka protected by the descendants of Vrishni, namely Bhoja, Madhu, Da, Dasharha, Arha, Kukkura, Andaka, etc., who were as strong as Lord Krishna. Must have been very strong. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Nagaloka planet is situated below the earth planet, and it is understood that the sun rays are hampered there. The darkness of the planet is, however, removed by the flashes of the jewels on the heads of the Nagas, or celestial serpents, and it is said that there are beautiful gardens, rivulets, etc., for the enjoyment of the Nagas. It is understood here also that the place is well protected by the inhabitants. So also the city of Dwaraka was well protected by the descendants of Vrishni, who were as powerful as the Lord, insofar as he manifested his strength upon this earth. Because who can be as powerful as the Lord? That's not possible. So Prabhupada qualified it here. Insofar as he manifested strength upon this earth, meaning his strength was not fully manifested, but he did manifest strength, and he manifested pretty amazing strength. So their strength was invested in them by Krishna, and the reason for investing strength in them by Krishna was for protection of the descendants of Vrishni. The Kshatriya's duty is that, giving protection from harm. Kshatriya, deliver from what might harm them. So they were very, very, very powerful, and they protected Dwarakapuri. Mention is made, a comparison is made of Naga, Nagaloka, its capital of Nagaloka is Bhogavati. It's like St. Louis, Missouri. Bhogavati, Nagaloka. We hear in a few places, just describe a little bit about Nagaloka. It's a lower planet in the vertical dimension of the universe. It's south, or it's below the earth. One mention of Nagaloka comes when Bhima was poisoned by this nasty fellow named Duryodhan. Duryodhan was very envious. And when the Pandavas returned to the royal city, they were away from the royal city because Pandu, their father, he liked being out in the wild, in the forest, in the places where there's natural beauty. So although he was the king, he didn't reside in the palace with all of the royal refinements. He resided in the forest. And he was very happy with his two wives, Kunti and Madri. And many things happened, including the birth of the five brothers. But at the time of the conception of the two younger brothers, Pandu had received a curse that if he ever had intercourse, he would at once die. And so he died. The other children were born of the Devas, and anyways, long description. When he died, there was Kunti and Madri and the five boys. They're just boys. So both Kunti and Madri wanted to enter into the funeral pyre of their husband because they were so attached to their husband, and it was a practice of the time, sati. But it was agreed after some very interesting dialogue that Madri would enter the fire and Kunti would remain and take care of the children. So here's Kunti off in the forest without a husband to protect her and five small boys, and so they then returned. The first child between Pandu and Dhritarashtra, the first child that was born, was Yudhisthira, so he was lawfully the inheritor of the throne. Because they were not present in the kingdom, in the palace, the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra had assumed, a lot of control. But when the Pandavas came back, they were cousins. Two brothers were their two fathers, and so they're cousins, first cousins. And so they were, happy to be together. Except for the fact that Duryodhan was envious, and the Pandavas were exalted. That's a combination or formula for a problem. And sure enough, it was a problem. Because when the boys would play, Bhima was Herculean strong. He would toss the boys around, and he just was having fun. But it was disturbing the mind of Duryodhan. And so Duryodhan went to his father and basically said, there's not room enough on this planet for both of us, the Pandavas and me. got to get rid of them. And his father said, I can't do that. When I was a blind young man, my younger brother Pandu took care of me like the older brother, like a father. And now you're proposing that we kill his children? I can't do that. I would certainly like to see you become the incumbent king, but to kill them, I can't do that. And Diodun, being very, very clever, said many things like, well, then I'll kill myself. Well, no, don't kill yourself. I can't. They have to be finished. So he made a plan. He slowly deluded his father into silence and acknowledging. Silence means acknowledgement of his plan. The plan was at least to kill Bhima. So the plan was they would make a summer home for the Pandavas, and the summer home they could go and spend some time at this summer home. And then there'd be a nice festival where the Kauravas and the Pandavas would have a nice festival. And Duryodhan would take charge of the food. And Duryodhan put enough poison in Bhima's food to kill 100 people and fed him the poison food. And nothing happened. He was, continuing to do his, they're in their water sports by the summer home. They're throwing the Kauravas, high in the air and frolicking, and after he had eaten all this poison. So, at the end of the day, everyone had gone home, and Bhima wanted to remain, so Bhima fell fast asleep by the side of, as if dead, by the side of the river. And Duryodhan and one of his cohorts tied him up tight with rope and threw him in the river. Like Al Capone. Threw him in the Chicago River. But Bhima sank and the Nagas came and pulled him all the way down to the Prabhupada, or the Mahabharata calls the Netherland, in the realm of the Nagas. And the Nagas then bit the body. They are serpents, celestial serpents. They bit the body of Bhima, and by biting the body of Bhima, it neutralized the poison with some other poison, and so his life was saved. And then when he became conscious again, he was lying in Nagaloka for some time. All these ropes around his body, and in a strange place, he didn't know where he was, so he just did the Bhima, and he just expanded his body, and the ropes broke. And word then went to the Naga king. We got a problem. We got Bhima down here, and he's running around, and we can't control him. What should we do? So the Naga king assumed a form of a human and came before Bhima and recognized him, along with his minister, recognized that Bhima was related. Forget the detail, along Vasuki, and somehow Bhima was related. I forget. You're a relative, so please be nice. And we would like to give you, in fact, a gift. The gift we'd like to give you is some Naga elixir. And you drink one vessel of this Naga elixir, and it makes you powerful as 10,000 elephants. So Bhima downed 3 or 4 of them. Because he's Rikudar, his insatiable appetite. And then he fell asleep. Just like sleep it off. And then when he again woke, they dressed him in some naga ceremonial attire in some little festival, and then they said, yeah, I think the people upstairs are going to be worrying about you. I think it's best if you return. So, I'm giving a very shortened version of this episode. And so then Bhima returned. Meanwhile, back in Hastinapur, Kunti counted her sons and only counted four, and one was missing. Oh, Bhima was resting, and he'll come later. So Kunti was very concerned. Mother, she's concerned about her missing son. Although he's, you know, so powerful, anything can happen. She went to Vidura, because Uncle Vidura was always the wise uncle, and he would always have the right answer for everything. So, when they went to Vidura, Vidura said, "Don't worry. Vyasadeva said that these children, when they were born, he pronounced them, these children will live for a long time and they will rule the kingdom and they'll be very virtuous in all of their affairs. So don't worry. Vyasadeva knows the future perfectly well. Everything is alright." So just with that, and what mother that has a missing son can hear somebody say it's going to be alright and they're alright. But that's how much faith and surrender Kunti had in the words of Vidura. And sure enough, Bhima returned. And when Bhima sat down in a private place and told what had happened, Duryodhan fed me poison, he tied me up and threw me in the river, and told the whole deal. And Yudhisthira could understand, being a minister and a politician and brilliant, he could understand, we've got a big problem here. And it's not just a matter of ringing the alarm bell, because we've just come back into the kingdom. They have all the alliances with all the other kings and friends and associates, and so we can't make a stir. We just have to be quiet. Bhima, be quiet. Gotta be quiet. We'll just bide our time and be very careful, knowing that they want to kill us. That was one Nagaloka incident. Another was Arjuna was dragged to Nagaloka by one Naga princess. And her interest was, she was very attracted to Arjuna and she wanted Arjuna to accept her request that he become her husband. And some dialogue back and forth about whether Arjuna could do that religiously. And she gave some very good arguments, you can do it religiously, and so he accepted. He was pulled from, again, through the realm of water. Sataputta discussed this, and Prabhupada would sometimes discuss this, the medium of water can be one of the entryways into higher dimensional space. Anyway, that's Sataputta's language. And so entering into Naga Loka, which is as far as the vertical dimension of the universe is concerned, it's below, so somehow through water that access can be made. Just like Prabhupada would sometimes describe that yogis, they can dip themselves in water over here and hundreds of thousands of miles away appear over there in an instant. So He doesn't describe how the technology works, but somehow through the medium of water, somehow higher dimensional space can be accessed, and boop, one is at this other place in an instant. So the Nagas are mystical. They're in the lower planetary region, but they have mystic powers, like they can present themselves in various forms, and they can travel at will in ways that we can't. They have that capacity. So the comparison is being made that as Bhogavati is protected by the powerful Nagas, so also those who are made powerful by Krishna's empowering them, these great personalities within the descendants of Rishni, they protected Dwaraka, Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Andaka, etc. The Sanskrit phrase is Atma Tulya Balayar. Bala means strong, and Tulya means as good as. So as good as strong as Krishna. Guptam, they protected the kingdom of the Nagas and its capital, Bhogavati. Text number 12. The city of Dwarakapuri was filled with opulences of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water breeding lotus flowers all over. When you were making your Dwaraka city, did you read some of these passages? Krishna book. Okay, well, here's a nice description of Dwarakapuri in the first canto. Added to that, they made a three-dimensional model of Dwaraka this summer based on the descriptions of the Bhagavatam and the Krishna book. So Prabhupada's comment is that when persons have opulence, what do they like to manifest when they have opulence? They like to manifest natural beauty, parks, landscaped gardens and lakes and nice sounding birds. It's the natural opulences of life are desired. Prabhupada writes, the leaders of modern civilization select their own residential quarters in a place where there are such naturally beautiful gardens and reservoirs of water, but they leave the common men to reside in congested areas without parks and gardens. Herein, of course, we find a different description of the city of Dwaraka. So the city of Dwaraka had not just like Central Park, but you know, the whole place is filled with parks. It is understood that all people depended on natural gifts of fruits and flowers without industrial enterprises promoting filthy huts and slums for residential quarters. Prabhupada is not complimentary about industrial civilization. Advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of the human being, but on developing the potent spiritual instincts of human beings and giving them a chance to go back to Godhead. And he goes the other way again. Development of factories and mills is called Ugra Karma. Or pungent activities. Like Ugra Nrisingha in Mayapur. Lord Nrisingha Dev, in his feature, before he jumps on Hiranyakashipu and places him over his lap and starts ripping his body apart with his nails, like we saw the cat this morning playing with something, a mouse or some little, and just batting it around, and just before, you know, ready to pounce, the ears perked, and so that's Ugra Nrisingha. That's meant for the non-devotees, different for the devotees. So Ugra Karma is, Prabhupada would translate, pungent activities, nasty activities. Such activities deteriorate the finer sentiments of the human being and society to form a dungeon of demons. Not very complimentary. So, Dwarka was a city with a huge population, but not like the cities that we find today with a huge population, because the basis of the huge population in modern cities is factories, mills, mines. Generally the mines are from distant place and they bring the raw materials to the city. So they can city just because where the workers work. You have the factories, and the workers work in the poor places, and the owners of the factories have these nice parks, landscaped homes. Then he discusses that there's pious trees and impious trees. Pious trees produce something that's of great value, like fruits or flowers that people can use that are decorative or nourishing. And impious trees don't. They produce thorns, or they produce poisonous leaves, or at least, you know, no nice fruits and no nice flowers. One lecture I heard Prabhupada was commenting that the city of Miami, they had a problem when the trees were lined, the streets were lined with fruit-bearing trees like oranges. It was a problem for them to, you know, the oranges that fell to the ground to clean them up, so they pulled out the orange trees and put in trees that wouldn't bear any fruits or flowers. He says here they're good only for supplying fuel. But what the city of Dwarka was designed for, the city planning, was to develop the finer sentiments of people. And so, abundant by design, fruits, flowers, beautiful gardens, parks, reservoirs of water with ducks and swans playing in the midst of lotus flowers, cows giving sufficient milk and butter. These are all essential for developing finer tissues of the human body. Then again, the dungeons of mines, factories, and workshops develop demoniac propensities in the working class. So, You know, it looks good in the gross national product, but it doesn't look good in the quality of the people, the quality of life. And so then you have a government that has wealth because they tax the people that have the wealth, and then the people that are poor are so unhappy that they cause so much havoc, then they have to spend so much money to police the people that are causing all the havoc because they've squeezed all the happiness out of their life to work in terrible places, which they don't want to work in, it's a vicious exploitation leads to, it bites you back. The vested interests flourish at the cost of the working class, and constantly there are severe clashes between them in many ways. So, Dwarka wasn't like that. Prabhupada calls it the ideal of civilized life. And of course, all that was naturally manifest because of Krishna's presence. The opulences, so we should think of Dwarka as opulent, like Prabhupada named a Los Angeles temple New Dwarka. And what the understanding was, and of the three places, principal places of Krishna's residence, Vrindavan, Mathura, where he went after Vrindavan on the invitation of Kamsa, and then saw to Ugrasena as being installed as the king and stayed there for some time, and then Dwarka. So of the three, Dwarka is particularly opulent. It's the manifestation of Krishna's full opulence as Purushottama, supremely opulent person. There's a very funny, humorous discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita where at Jagannath Rath Yatra, the Vaishnavas are seeing the grand arrangement of the Rath Yatra festival and the grand arrangement for Jagannath to come and sit on his giant cart. And one of the devotees is saying, "This is my Lord, the supremely opulent." And forget which personalities are, one is turned to another saying, "Well, what do you think? Is this the supremely opulent feature or your Krishna in Vrindavan?" He's belittling your Krishna in Vrindavan. And the discussion of what the opulences of Vrindavan are in comparison to the opulences of Dwarka. The opulences of Vrindavan eclipse the opulences of Dwarka in terms of their loving quality and even the natural beauty of Vrindavan. And then they all laugh and pay attention to the Rath Yatra festival again. Vrindavan manifests all the opulences of Vaikuntha or Dwarka, but additional opulences, the opulences of the sweetness of the loving exchanges, and the natural beauty. When it's described in Vrindavan, even the summer season was temperate. So in today, Vrindavan, the summer season is intolerably hot. Bake, you can, you know, put something on the road and bake your bread on the road. So hot. Or, you know, on the sand. Burn your feet, so hot. But the summertime when Krishna was present was like spring. Specifically, the Krishna book describes, because of Krishna's presence. So, by Krishna's presence, also in Dwarka, everything was so opulent. As Kunti was saying, by your placing your feet on the surface of the earth, Mother Earth is so pleased, she supplies everything bountifully. And you're taking those feet away. You're leaving. So, very special place, Dwarka. Any discussion? Yeah?
In marriage, in the beginning part of the lecture, you're describing how a Kshatriya is deficient of protection.
Mm.
And also in the situation of envious persons plus exalted personalities, that's a recipe for a problem. Just curious, in the situation where you have, let's say, an exalted Kshatriya and an envious subordinate, how does that work?
He has to deal with the envious subordinate. You know, look at the example of Pandavas or Krishna. They have to deal with it. If necessary, by physical force. That's what Kshatriya means. You caught a very important point. All it took was his words. And she was completely pacified. So it's trust. She recognized the wisdom. Everyone, even Dhritarashtra, understood the wisdom of Vidura, but he wasn't able to listen. He always gave the best advice. He would sometimes say, I know that your advice is right, but I can't do it. I'm attached. That same reply came when Akura came to visit Hastinapur. This conflict between the two sets of cousin brothers was understood. Krishna sent Akura to go examine the situation. He spent a month and reached the same conclusion. And before he returned, he advised Dhritarashtra, you have to give this up. It's going to bring you destruction. He gave all good reason and he couldn't do it. So, letting the how to qualify oneself like Kunti and not disqualify oneself like Dhritarashtra has to do with attachment. What are we attached to? Because being attached to something is going to be there. Having desire is something that's going to be there. So having our desire in relation to Krishna. And then those that are very dear to Krishna, that's the indication of that's Krishna's indication for the individual due to their attachment to Krishna or attachment to Sat. And as long as that's not there, then even good advice doesn't bring relief. In fact, it works the other way. For someone who is envious, good advice increases they just become angry. That's a rule. So you can't advise, like Jivana Jivana's question, you can't advise an envious person. They'll resent it. It'll make them more nasty. Duryodhan, when Vidura gave his advice, he snarled at him. Dhritarashtra couldn't follow it. Duryodhan snarled, and Kunti followed peacefully. And in all cases, he was the well-wisher. The best well-wisher. Anything else? Yes.
Huh?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Good question. This overthrow of bundled activities, which is love in the factories and mills, that's we're going to end class today on taking a good look and contributing to factories and mills. It's, we need this, seems like we need to have a strong program where we're moving away from such activities.
Yeah. The entry point for us is transformation of consciousness. And to frame our life as far as possible in the language that Prabhupada has used here, developing the finer sentiments and sensibilities. And as that happens, as consciousness changes, then our activities will change. And it's going to take, you know, a very broad consciousness change to bring about, you know, a change in the approach to how people take up their living. So one of the things that becomes very important for one who has employment in the field of life like many devotees have, like yourself, is it can be used to help attract others in a similar position. Different than, let's say, somebody who's living on a farm, although it's, you know, sustainable agriculture. Most people are going to say, well, that's nice, but I can't relate to that. I couldn't possibly do that. Or, you know, nice brahmacharya or sannyasi. Oh, that's nice, but I can't, not my way. It's not for me. It's nice for them. So, the point here is then use that facility for preaching to attract other, like, you know, similarly employed persons to bring about a change of consciousness through association with such persons. Using some facility for preaching. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.